today on Life Talk.
Christianity is all about what he did because I couldn't do it. Christianity is all about Jesus dying in my stead, rising from the dead so that I could also rise from the dead. It's all about me giving him my sin and he gives me his righteousness. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. It's all Jesus. And that's Christianity.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
As we come to the second message in our brand new series out of 1 Peter, we're going to talk about something so, so important. What Peter says about the Bible and your sanctification. You know, in a world that increasingly mocks the Word of God, every Christian needs to be settled with their confidence in Scripture. Peter will help us do just that. We're also going to look at what the Apostle said about our sanctification. We're in the world, but we're not of it. The Holy Spirit is daily calling us out of the world's corruption into the kingdom's way of thinking and doing. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Your Scriptures and Your Sanctification, from our series, Comfort for the Suffering. Now, last time we covered the first nine verses of 1 Peter. Verse 9 reads, receiving the end of your faith, what everyone, the what? Salvation of your souls. Now this time we're going to talk about your scriptures and your sanctification, starting with verse 10. So let's read verses 10 and 11. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, while the prophets had a basic grasp of the plan of salvation, that the Christ would suffer for mankind's sins, there was much that they didn't fully grasp and search to understand, particularly the timing that the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing to. And you know what? God never showed it to them. God left them in the dark on the when of his plan. Verse 12 says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things that angels desire to look into. So to them it was revealed that they were ministering things that were not going to take place in their lifetime. So the word of God you hold in your hand is filled with prophecy about your salvation. Now let's move on to your sanctification. Peter's going to focus first on God's character and how his own holiness requires us to live a holy life. Look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe verse 13 has verse 12 and what we just read about the angels in mind. He seems to be saying, live clean, the angels are watching. Sanctification simply means to be separated from and unto. So he's separating us from the world and the sin of the world unto himself. That's sanctification. So one of the aspects of sanctification is, if you're expecting his return, it sanctifies you. You live clean. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Let me talk about fear of God for a moment. I've heard people say, you know, I don't think that I could ever be a Christian because I don't want to walk around terrified of God. That's not what the fear of God means. The Bible does not teach us to be terrified of God. It doesn't teach us to be tormented in our fear of Him. Fear of God is talking about the reverential, respectful fear of God. Peter says part of your sanctification is having a healthy fear of God. Now, why? Because without partiality, He judges according to each one's work, Peter says. Now, God judges people by two things, what you do and what you say, primarily. He has no favorites. Peter says, without partiality, from presidents to paupers, God judges each person by their works, primarily by what you do and what you say. So as Christians, we should do and say as those who are aware of being watched and heard by the living God. Amen? Amen? Because God is watching and God is weighing every one of our thoughts, words, actions, and attitudes. I'm very aware that God is very aware of me. Are you? Amen. I'm very aware that God is very aware of me. He knows every move I make. He knows every word I say before I say it. He knows every thought that I'm thinking. See, Santa Claus stole from God. He knows what you've been thinking. He knows if you've been bad or good. He's a myth. But the real God knows if you've been bad or good. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you said. He knows where you've been, knows where you're going. He knows your every step. It says He knows your step before you take it. He knows, David said, He knows when I sit down and He knows when I get up. He understands my thoughts from far away. That's God. And so when you're aware of that, then you're aware that every one of my thoughts, there's only four areas I can mess up. My thoughts, my words, my actions, my attitudes. He's weighing each of them. And if I get out of line, God in His love will come and chasten me so that I get back in line and I partake of His holiness. I partake of His holiness. Amen? Verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed. Everybody say knowing. Do you know this? You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Peter says in verse 19, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now here Peter is telling us the only currency that will save your soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. God cannot be bought. Amen. Salvation is not for sale, but all false religions will tell you that it is. All false religions teach that salvation must be purchased or earned by your works. But Christianity is not about your works. It's about His work. Christianity is not do, do, do. Christianity is done, done, done. Christianity is all about what He did because I couldn't do it. Christianity is all about Jesus dying in my stead, rising from the dead so that I could also rise from the dead. It's all about Jesus living out the Ten Commandments perfectly because I could not do it. It's all about me giving Him my sin and He gives me His righteousness. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And that's Christianity. Christianity is not me, it's Him. And what He's done for me. And I put my faith in what He's done. And when I put my faith in what He's done, His shed blood shed for me, and that blood washes away all my sin as if it never happened, then it was none of me and all of Him, and I can get no credit, and He gets all the credit. That's why we're going to cast our crowns at His feet when we get to glory, because we're going to know, I could never have done it. He saved me. I was lost. I was hellbound, except for Jesus Christ and the grace of God. By grace you are saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, only the blood of Jesus, offered at the bar of God, can purchase my redemption. Hebrews says, I love this, with His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. In other words, the Old Testament and all those sacrifices are gone now. He died once for all.
He says, with his own blood, not of goats, not of calves, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all and secured our redemption forever. And he did it with his blood. Muhammad won't save you. You won't save you. Some other philosophy won't save you. Your own good works won't save you. There's nothing you can do to save you. Nothing will do it. Buddha won't save you. Hugging a tree won't save you. Being a good person and never getting a traffic ticket won't save you. The only thing that'll save you is the blood of Jesus running down that old rugged cross. That's the only thing that will save you. It's the only thing. I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you so thankful for the blood of the Lamb? Aren't you so thankful that you can wake up in the morning and not be condemned, not feel guilty? You're light as a feather because your sin has been forgiven, and that heavy backpack of guilt you are carrying around has dropped off of you, and you're a redeemed, blood-bought, spirit-filled, heaven-bound child of God. Come on, everybody. Now Peter gets heavy. Verse 20, look at this. He, Jesus, indeed, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now here again, we encounter a truth that challenges our limited minds. Think with me a moment. Peter is telling us that God was not at all surprised by the fall of man. Follow me, church. It was foreknown. Remember I tell you the two things God never says? What are they? Oops, because he never makes a mistake. Or will I'll be, because he's never surprised. Okay? Now watch this. The fall of man was foreknown in the councils of eternity. I don't understand that, but I believe it because the Holy Word of God is telling me. If God acted in creation, he would eventually have to act in redemption, and he acted in creation. Now here's the heavy part. So before God stooped down to fashion Adam out of clay, before he flung the stars into space, before he said, "Let there be light," God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit conceived the plan to redeem fallen man. In some council in eternity of eternities, before there was any world at all, God the Son said to God the Father, "I will go." Everybody say, "Pretzel brain." But that's what happened. And you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Don't tell me the Bible is a book for simpletons.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So, Jesus was foreordained. The cross was foreordained. Shedding his blood, rising from the dead, living a sinless life, being born of the Virgin Mary, coming into our world, invading planet Earth, a fallen renegade planet, lost, desperately lost. It was all foreordained that Jesus would come. And so, once the plan of salvation was complete, God created the world. Verse 21, who through him believe in God. That is, through him we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, did you know it's through Jesus' death and resurrection we believe in the God of the Bible? Without Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit would never have come. And if the Holy Spirit had never come, we would never have believed because the Holy Ghost convicted us of sin. Holy Ghost came into our death chamber and convicted us of sin. And do you know what? As Lazarus came walking out of that tomb, who had been dead 4 days, and Jesus spoke into that tomb and called him out, as a dead man got up and came walking out, you were that dead spiritually. And Jesus called you out and raised you from the dead. You were dead in your sins, but God made you alive in Jesus Christ, Ephesians says. God raised him from the dead so that our faith would rest in him alone. Now notice, we don't have faith in faith, but our faith is in the God who sent his only son to die in our place and then raised him from the dead. Everybody say, this is heavy stuff. Now think with me a moment. Who wrote this? A former, salty old, cussing, drinking, carousing fisherman. And Jesus turned him into an intellectual giant. Blows me away. I feel like I'm reading some heavy duty, but heavy, you know, philosopher. But more than, this is profound stuff. Look what Jesus put in this man. Wow. What a thinker. What truth the Lord has revealed to him. If he can do this with Peter, he can do this with anybody in this room. Peter says in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now here Peter directs our attention to the role of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. Our souls are purified, how? By obeying the truth. How do we obey the truth? Through the power the Holy Spirit provides. Amen? That's the difference between a religion and Christianity. Religion is you got to do it. Christianity is, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost so that you can do it. Amen? Now, there are two types of sanctification, and I want us to understand this tonight, positional and practical. Positional sanctification has to do with your standing before God in Christ. Our standing is perfect because the blood of the Lamb secures it for us. So positionally, I want you to picture yourself this way. When God looks at you, what does God see? Does he see all your flaws? Does he see all of your shortcomings? Does he see all those cracks in your character? Does he see that? When God looks at you, what does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees the blood. He sees a sinless, perfect person. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might be made, say it with me, the righteousness, say it with me, the righteousness of God in Christ. So we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So when God looks at us positionally, our stand before him positionally is, I'm clean as the driven snow because of the blood of the Lamb. That's positional. Thank God for positional, because now we come to practical. Practical sanctification has to do with our daily walk, which is often imperfect. Anybody in here live perfectly this week so far? How many of you had to repent so far this week? The rest of you, you need to repent now. You're lying in church. Okay? We all had to repent this. You thought something, said something, did something, copped an attitude, something where you need to say, Lord, forgive me. If you're walking with him at all, you need to ask for forgiveness on something. But now watch this. Practical sanctification is where we stumble and we fall. We succumb to temptation. We mess up. We're not perfect. That's our practical sanctification. It is the daily outworking of the Holy Ghost in our lives to sanctify us step by step, day by day, more and more. How many of you can honestly say, I know that I'm walking better with Jesus today than I was a year ago? Okay? That's the work of sanctification. That's the Holy Ghost sanctifying you. It's practical sanctification. By the Spirit's power, we daily step more and more in line with our positional sanctification. But listen, I'm always thinking, thank God for positional, because practical, I mess up all the time. Thank God for my positional standing. But every day, it's the work of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And what is the it? He will sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians. So God is sanctifying you and me bodily, pulling us out of sinful activities bodily. In our soul, in our thinking, he's pulling us away from the sin of the world. And in our spirit, he's pulling us away from the sin of the world. He's sanctifying us. So that when you go to do something that maybe 5 years ago you didn't even have any qualms about, but now the Holy Ghost says, nope, don't do it. Don't go there. Walk with me. Walk with me. Come away from them. Come apart from them. And be ye holy, for I am holy. So that check in your heart, that pulling away from the things of this world, that's the sanctifying ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Spirit of God, this is the way it works. The Spirit of God convicts us of a sin.
We turn to Jesus for forgiveness, according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And with that forgiveness comes fresh commitment to God's will. You know how good you feel when you know God's forgiven you? You say, wow, Lord, I commit more than ever now to walk more cleanly in that area than I did before. Through this ongoing process, we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Peter notes that as we grow in sanctification, we also grow in love for the brethren. Say with me, pure hearts, love best. The more purely we walk before God, the better we will love other people. That's why our world right now, that culture out there, I don't know if you've realized it or not, but there ain't a whole lot of love. Is there? There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of contempt. There's a lot of abuse. There's not much love. Where do you find love? God is love. And he that loves knows God. So Peter said, the cleaner you walk, the better you're going to be able to love the brethren. And he said, fervently, which means intently and intentionally, I really do love my brethren. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Peter used the words born again, which we should never lose the wonder of. Amen. I don't want you folks to ever lose the wonder. The phrase born again has been cheapened in our day. But let's never lose the wonder of it, because by a literal miracle of God, we have received a brand new divine nature. The greatest miracle that can ever happen to a human being has happened to most everybody in this room. You have been born from above. We have become members of the royal family in heaven. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We have become joint heirs with Christ. We rank higher than the angels. Born again. Thank God. Can we say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm born again? Hallelujah. And how did it happen? Through the incorruptible seed of God's word. Having been born again, not by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible word of God. Think about it. I thought of this today. The fall of man was brought about by a failure to believe the word of God, wasn't it? Adam said, or Eve originally said, I don't believe the word of God. Satan caused her to doubt it. He said, has God said? And she quit believing the word of God. If you eat that tree, Satan said to her, you won't die. God's not told you the truth, Eve, and she believed it. So she didn't believe the word of God. But now, isn't it funny how conversely, it's when we now believe the word of God, we're born again. So as we lost salvation by not believing the word of God, we get it back by believing the word of God. Chapter 1 closes with a word about the word of God. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and so do you. Amen? Have you ever just not seen somebody for about 6 to 12 months and you run into them again? Have you noticed how they look a little bit different? How about when you go to a high school reunion? You walk in there and you think, oh, all right, I'm doing pretty good for my age. And I can't wait to see so-and-so and so-and-so. And you thank God there's name tags. Because you would never know who they are. They come up to you, hey, how you doing? And you go, hey, and you're looking at the name tag. And you lie all night long. You're looking great. Oh, you look great. You're lying all night long. Because what they have done is they've aged, and so have you. Amen? Amen. If I could get you away from a mirror for a year and you went and looked at it again, you go, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It happens that fast. Because all flesh is like grass. And the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So the impermanence of our world, illustrated by flesh, grass, and flowers, which all come and go, is held up against the imperishable word of God. No book has been more attacked, vilified, scorned, and targeted for destruction than the Bible in your hand. Yet it stands today as the number one bestseller in the entire world. It is this eternal word, says Peter, that was preached to you through the gospel.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111. 3111 or the website lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.